I don't know what is in this fucking drink that you made me drink that John...
You're drinking a Red Horse.
I am completely fucking plastered right now.
And welcome to Red Horse Radio. This is John Towers. I'm a modern era Renaissance character, performer, writer, artist, podcaster. And I have all this equipment, and everyone always is like, why do you have all this fucking equipment in your studio? Because you hardly ever have a guest. So today I have a guest, Dan from The Night Story. Dan.
Greetings, Moriarty. Down here in the catacombs with all your special equipment.
Yeah, this, it's like a trophy room / workspace.
Yeah, I could see some bodies hanging up down here.
That'd be a trophy room. And everyone that's been down here so far, not a single person has mentioned the dentist chair yet. So
I love the dentist chair. I remember when you got that thing.
Yeah, it used to be.
Didn't you have to drive someplace and flip? Didn't Swenson like flip a truck or something?
We flipped a van.
That's right. Why not? Flip a van.
So I've been on your show.
You have.
And
you were on my first show. You were on the Virgin episode. You raped the hell out of that show.
And I've been wanting to get you guys, you actually and your partner on. He couldn't make it today. But I wanted to get you guys on to my show. But the problem is I didn't know what we could do. So my idea was like, hey, you're coming from one show. You're over here on my show. You guys talk about stories, so let's talk crossover, the crossover device.
Yeah, so which one of us is DC and which one of us is Marvel? You can be Batman. We're down in your lair. That's much cooler than Spider-Man.
Because, yeah, he doesn't have a lair.
No, he doesn't.
He just...
He builds a web.
Yeah. On a building.
That's right. He catches bad guys just like flies.
Yeah. Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man.
Somehow Batman's cooler than that.
So I know that you like stories like in all different incarnations. So
yes.
I figure we could just talk about different ones. Now, when you talk about crossovers or when you think of a crossover, what... Like, is the definition? Because I was thinking about it, it gets kind of blurry after a little while.
I think your crossover is when, I mean, the traditional, obviously, is the comic books. That's the first thing I think of. Because when I was a kid, that's the first time you saw the crossovers. I mean, you'd have the Marvel and DC crossovers occurring all the time.
They used to do the Teen Titans versus the X-Men.
Right. And then you'd have crossovers within the titles, too. So, I mean, Spider-Man would show up with the X-Men and vice versa.
Yeah, that's kind of where I... get blurry. The way that I see it is there's three different like classifications of a crossover, and that's like extra universal, like two different Marvel and DC crossover.
Yeah, kind of like a what if type of thing.
And you usually need like some sort of device, you know, like a wormhole or like a, you know, some kind of device or
yes.
anomaly to get you there.
Yeah.
And then you have the internal, like the same universe crossovers, you know, that's, you know, Captain America fighting the Hulk.
Right.
You know, whatever. And then, like, it gets blurry because then you have...
The Simpsons and the X-Men?
Well, I was thinking...
They actually did that. You know that?
No.
There was a Simpsons X-Men crossover. It's not considered canon. Wonder why.
Was it in the book or in the...
I don't know. I didn't see it. I just read about it whenever I was doing a little bit of quick research for the show, and I looked up crossovers between comics, and it was that was the one that stuck out to me as the strangest.
The two strangest ones that I have, and oddly enough, they both involve the Punisher.
Well, of course.
Which is the Punisher meets Archie.
Hey, Jughead, watch out.
The Punisher's looking for a drug dealer in Riverdale High.
Oh, of course, because they were all fucking stoned.
And then the other one is Eminem versus the Punisher.
The
rapper.
The rapper?
Yeah.
See, now I would have seen maybe like the deep Gene Simmons from Kiss versus...
Well, that's a good one because they crossed over all over the place when they were on the Marvel comics back in the 70s.
And they put their blood in the comics, too. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You can, like, clone Gene Simmons from there now.
Jesus. He will charge you for that.
Probably. Charge you for it. I think we're getting charged right now because I just mentioned his name. That's right. I'm going to come out there. You know, for the fans, we like to take as much money as possible.
The blurry kind of crossover is where things are presented as two different universes, but then the creator winds up smashing it together.
Ah.
And my thought is like the Gunslinger books.
Oh, yeah.
you know.
Yeah, Stephen King's basically been writing the same story forever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, you know, the Gunslinger series that essentially he realized, you know what, I'm writing the same story. Oh, let's just mash all this together.
We could just kind of smash it all together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, do we agree on the terms of what is a crossover then?
Terms agreed upon.
All right. So, where
get ready to rumble.
Where do you want to start?
Okay, so let's start with you mentioned Stephen King, so I'll play on that real quick. I've started to read some of his son's work, Joe Hill. And there was a great...
You could find some of his work on my publisher, Postmortem Press.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you have a connection there.
Right.
You and Joe hang out. You can have some. He can have Joe in for a show. He's probably too big for you.
Yeah,
I know
probably.
You don't like the big guys.
No.
So I'll try not to become famous or anything.
I just wanted to say my publisher, name drop my publisher.
My publisher. Yeah, of course. Well, you know, you should. It's your show. You should plug. That's what we do there. You know, we plug for you all the time on our show. So
you guys are very gracious with your time, as far as I'm concerned.
We recorded a what was it, like a minute and a half commercial for you this week?
Did
you not listen to that?
No, I didn't get it.
Craig called you a treasure, and he was not being facetious. He was like literally calling you a treasure.
Well, that's
so. I'm here with Dr. Treasure tonight. It just sounds like a little bit like I don't know what's the word I'm looking for.
Gay.
I was going to actually say like My Pretty Pony, but you know, same thing. Dang. That's where I was going with it. Rainbows coming out of unicorns' asses, and John's a treasure.
No, but I do want to say thank you to both you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
For all the rub you give me over there.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you a little rub. I can't reach it from here, but maybe later on.
All right, Joe Hill.
Joe Hill. Okay, so Joe Hill. Yeah, I see how quickly we change that subject. So Joe and Steve have been doing a little bit of writing together. Most recently, Nosferatu came out, and there's some mentions of The Gunslinger. And Stephen King just recently released the sequel to The Shining, which is Dr. Sleep. Yeah, not Dr. Towers, Dr. Sleep. He sees dead people. Anyway, everywhere. Walking around like dead people. Anyway, so there's some mention of the main character from Nosferatu in Stephen King's new book too. So it just seems like they're playing off of each other. Their realities have merged. I mean, they're talking. You know, Midworld is mentioned in Joe Hill's book. And again, like I said, Stephen King makes mention of his main character. So
I think he did something like that with J.K. Rowling too. I know he.
Oh,
mentions
there's a lot of crossover into those.
He
realities.
Mentions a lot of Harry Potter business.
Yes, he does not, of course, mention the Twilight series because he's apparently not a big fan of her work.
Stephanie Myers.
Yeah.
Stephanie Brown.
Yeah. Same thing. I think that his quote was something to the effect of, and I'm just trying to go off of memory here, so I may be completely messing it up, but something to the effect of it's like porn for, you know, for young girls or something like that.
Yeah. Plus, can you imagine what Mr. Barlow would do to those fucking sparkly vampires?
Barlow would rip the fuck out of
them. He'd peel them like a banana.
That's right. Vampires are sparkly.
A sparkly banana.
So I posed this question to a friend during Halloween because there's apparently this big thing where young girls are fascinated with vampires. And apparently now older ladies that think they're young girls are also fascinated with vampires that sparkle. So is that like necrophilia because the vampire's dead, right?
Yeah.
I mean, essentially.
I think it is.
Yeah.
There's a
crossover. Let's get Twilight guys in Blade.
Oh. That's not a good idea.
I think Blade should show up in Twilight. That would be a great crossover.
There's talk about that kind of, like, people have, like, dropped Blade into, like, frames of Twilight.
I have not seen that. I thought I was being original, but...
All right, well, we're talking about authors who all have big movies made of their properties, right? So
yes.
Let's talk about some famous movie crossovers. Can you think of any?
Here's a bad one. There's a movie. I don't know the name of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's why it's a bad one. But Danny Glover and Mel Gibson are both in it. And they pass each other, like, in passing. And they just kind of look at each other and they're like, But it was just like a little nod to the fact that, you know, they're both in the same movie, and, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I think I know you from somewhere, but nah.
They did that in the one of those Dwayne The Rock Johnson movies.
Oh, yeah?
With, he was walking down the hall, and Governor Schwarzenegger was walking down the other side. And Schwarzenegger was like, good luck in there. He was going into a bar to fight a bunch of guys or something. So I thought of a couple crossovers.
Do they feature Steven Seagal?
Not a single one of them. I fucking wish, man.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So I thought of the classics, right? Like the Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein.
Ah, okay.
Or, you know, I think they did like a whole series of those. Meets the Wolfman and meets, you know, whatever. And that led me to think of
Abbott and Costello meet Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Abbott and Costello meet what's her name? It completely left my brain. I was thinking of some porn actress. I think that would be hilarious.
Abbott and Costello meet Ginger Lynn.
There you go. Exactly. That works. That's what I was going for.
And that made me think of the Monster Squad, which is that it was like an 80s movie. It was like the Goonies meets the Universal Monsters.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That fell into the same genre as like Chud.
I don't know. I think it was.
Was it better?
I actually recently rewatched it, and like the special effects were like all the computer generated stuff, so they were all like the practical, like actual special effects. And yeah, I mean, it was
Clash of the Titans.
Not as epic as Clash of the Titans. Hey, Ray Harryhausen was awesome.
He was, man.
I just watched it.
All-time, one of my favorite all-time movies. And it for me, it still holds up. I can still watch it today and be like, that's a fucking awesome movie.
Did you watch the remakes? Oh, we're steering off into remake land. Okay.
Let's not do that.
Then we can talk about the Versus movies. Godzilla versus King Kong was a crossover.
Ah, yes.
Now, they had to do some tinkering with the plot because they had to make King Kong way bigger. Because Godzilla would have just stepped on.
That's
like,
correct.
He would have just been like, King what?
Yeah, as big as he was, Godzilla was bigger. Gojira!
And then recently we've done Freddy versus Jason.
Yes.
Did you like that? Did you watch it?
I did not watch it, but I'm okay with it. Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with the concept of it.
Yeah, I mean,
aliens versus predator, that type of thing.
Yeah. So basically, just taking like two, you know, iconic things from your whatever genre and kind of like slamming them together.
Hey now,
the Freddy versus Jason I thought was really interesting because they got I want to say it was Chinese or Japanese director.
Yeah,
who really did like a lot of sort of thoughtful things. Like he juxtaposed, you know, Freddy died in fire and Jason died in water. Yeah. So he like used like.
So it was like Mortal Kombat. One was like the water, had the water powers, and the other one had fire powers.
Because, yeah, I guess, not really fire powers, but like at one point in time, like, you know, Freddy kind of trapped Jason because he exposed his fear of water.
Ah, okay. You see? I gotcha. Yeah.
but the Mortal Kombat thing, like, video games are a huge market, crossover market.
Yes, they are.
Marvel versus Capcom now.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat DC.
Yeah. I like to call that the Mortal Kombat versus the Super Friends.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, Aquaman summons...
He's just summoning himself.
You know who the most powerful superheroes were on that show? Xan and Jaina.
Yeah.
Because they always saved the other ones. Like, they'd all get trapped and be like, yeah, it's up to the kids and their monkey. They're going to come and take care of it.
Gleek.
Yeah. He said, shape of a vat of vodka. Form of a drunken monkey.
I almost thought you were going to say Apache Chief was the...
Well, he was pretty powerful, man. After they took his casino away.
Oh.
Hey, I'm Native American, so I can get away with a little bit of that. I got some of that blood in me.
Talking about, are you a video game guy? Like,
I used to be, man. I just don't have time anymore. Yeah. It's like I'm trying to do my own thing. I realize that I'm just like watching other people's stories. So I decided, you know, like
I need to check out of this and do some work.
Exactly. Maybe after I like get some more content, I'll be like, yeah, I owe myself a day to play some video games.
Well, Nintendo has a series called Mario Kart where it's like go-kart races.
Yeah,
and they bring in all different characters from like the Nintendo universe. So it's like
Link.
Yeah, like he's go-kart racing against Link, which is like the
stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, it's
like you know, there was a Nintendo game. I can't remember. It was one of those racing games, and I remember that there was like a cheat code, and you could have a Mustang, but it was actually a horse, and it would go at like 200 miles an hour. It was hilarious.
Was it a red one?
It should have been.
All right. So there's one. Final Fantasy and Disney did a crossover video game called Kingdom Hearts.
Sounds very strange to me.
It is. It is a very bizarre. I think they're up to
like Tom Hanks playing Walt Disney. That's how strange it sounds.
I think there's three of them now. But it's like, you know, your character comes in and like interacts with characters like Mickey Mouse, and then turns around.
Hey, everybody!
And then turns around.
I'm gonna kick your ass.
And interacts.
Let's get drunk, kids.
And then interacts with Final Fantasy characters, and you go to like different. The different worlds are different worlds from the Disney universe. So it's like,
wow.
You go to like Pumpkin
Isn't
Town.
Isn't Final Fantasy like a Japanese game? It's yeah. like that with quasi almost disturbing type anime.
Yeah. And like everyone has like a sword that's like the size of them.
Well, you know, that's applicable in more ways than one if we're talking about Japanese animation.
But it's cool because it takes both properties and it puts them on an even level. So it's like when you're interacting with like Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck, and I think even like Goofy and Donald are like part of your questing party. Yeah, like they're like walking around behind you and stuff.
I don't think I've ever been that stoned in my life. Someone must have had something going on. You know what, man? Let's put like Donald Duck and Goofy with like the Final Fantasy.
Yep, that sounds great. That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about comic books. Obviously, being you know from that
you don't know
background.
Anything about comic books, right?
There's been a lot of crazy comic book crossovers.
There's been a lot of crazy comic book. Plastic Man showing up in anything to me is crazy, but yeah.
You mentioned an X-Men crossover before. They crossed over with Star Trek.
Nice.
Actually, they crossed over with Star Trek twice.
Did Kirk kick their fucking ass?
No, but Spock beat up Wolverine.
Awesome. I could see that.
And then they crossed over with the Next Gen.
Oh. I'm sure that was disappointing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I did end up loving Star Trek The Next Generation at the end. I thought it got better every season. But, I mean, it's just like, if you think Wolverine, I just don't see him hanging out with the guys from Next Generation.
No. So, I think they had a common enemy.
Riker. Number one.
He was like the best dude, though.
Well, yeah. The funniest thing, you know, did you ever notice this? And this is something that everybody should watch. Watch Star Trek The Next Generation and watch how Riker sits down every time.
Are you gonna demonstrate it for me?
I'll demonstrate for you.
I don't want to spill my delicious beverage.
Dan's organizing Riker's command chair.
Okay, so if I'm Riker and I'm coming, and maybe I'm just coming to talk to you.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to do.
All right. He steps over his chair like he's the Fonz.
Every fucking time. Every time. It's fucking... It's scary, man. The first... Like, I could not believe it. I don't know how I found... I think I was watching... I don't know if you ever see that there's a website called wimp.com, and it's just like a collection of different strange videos.
I can lose hours to that, but I think that's where I saw it the first time, and I watched it. I was like,
well, doesn't,
seriously?
Doesn't Picard have a sitting...
He
too.
Has a. He has.
He's got to like adjust his blouse every time he sits down.
Yes, they call that the Picard maneuver, because he pulls down his shirt. I guess it like gets up under his tits or something.
The Lycra.
Yeah,
it chafes his armpits.
That's a cool guy though, Patrick Stewart. Man, I can't say too much about Patrick Stewart. I can say. I mean, I said this whenever we did a show a couple weeks ago. If we ever need the Knights, we're fucked because.
Yeah,
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, sir.
Gandalf the Gay. Paul McCartney. Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really have a whole lot. I mean, those guys aren't jumping up on horses.
Not red horses or any other horses, for that matter.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so crossovers in comic books. Yeah, that's definitely been done and done and done again. I think out of any media form, I think comics has done it the most.
Yeah.
Because it's easy. You just draw them, right? I mean, it's hard.
It's just simple.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of tough to get, like, Hugh Jackman to show up on the Next Generation movie, but...
Yeah. I actually have Kiss written down in my notes, which was nice because I thought that I forgot it.
Well, Kiss has done many, many crossovers.
That's right, Gene. We do them all the time.
So, and Marvel does this thing with, in the 70s, they were going to cross over with a recording artist.
Groovy.
Yet to be named. They didn't know.
Jimi Hendrix?
The record label was like, we don't know what recording artist, but we're going to make him into a superhero, and we want him to have a comic book.
Ah, the monkeys.
So, Marvel invented the Dazzler.
That's right. Remember the Dazzler? Oh, that's right.
Well,
that's delicious.
She's gone on to be like a pretty important character, like in the universe. But the recording artist part of it never really
took off.
Yeah, but I always thought that was interesting. And then they were like, Marvel's like, well, fuck it, we're still gonna use this.
Screw you guys, I'm using this.
And they did something else with, like, I think it was Guiding Light.
Yeah.
Where Guiding Light's like, hey, we're going to need a superhero. So Marvel, like, invented this superhero, and they did comic books in the Guiding Light universe, and then they were also...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some good bud, man.
And then I can't talk about comic book crossovers without mentioning my favorite comic book property of all time, which is The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, yes. As soon as those characters came out of copyright protection, you knew they were ripe for rape and fondle.
But Alan Moore, I think, does a great job.
I will say that they did. They were very respectful, and they did a great job with League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It could have been horrible. I mean, you could have done whatever you wanted to with those characters. I mean, you could have made, you know, they could have been lovers if you wanted them to be. But
well, they did.
Were,
Alan Quartermain and Mina Harker got down.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like...
Well, if
the
you
Hulk,
want...
I'm sorry. I mean, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
I mean, he was essentially the Hulk. I thought that was awesome. He was like the Gray Hulk.
Yeah. And he actually did anally rape the Invisible Man to death in Volume 2.
Oh, wow. That sounds like something I don't want to read.
He had it coming to him, though.
Be scared, kids. Here comes the Invisible Man.
So, are you a Sherlock Holmes guy?
Oh, I love Sherlock Holmes. I grew up with Sherlock. That was like one of the first things that my mom introduced me to was Sherlock Holmes stories.
Ironically enough, they don't do a whole lot with Sherlock Holmes in the league.
They could.
Well, I mean, he said that he didn't want to because you wouldn't need a whole league of them if you had Sherlock Holmes. Like, he would just be able to sort it all out himself.
So it's like the Super Friends have Superman, and it's like, well, what are the rest of you guys doing?
Right.
Superman can just fucking do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but they did use Moriarty. He was the main...
that's right.
He was the main villain in the first volume.
Moriarty's awesome.
Yeah, they played him like a bureaucrat. It was like a mathematician slash bureaucrat.
What did you think of the Tony Stark Sherlock Holmes movies?
I won't watch them.
Really?
Yeah.
They're not bad. You know, if since they're on Netflix and they're free, you may as well just give them a shot and see what you think. But they're. I mean, it's obviously not the same Sherlock Holmes that I grew up with or that you grew up with. It's an interesting take on it. It's not terrific, but there is, in the second one at least, some really good writing.
Really?
In terms of, like, how they set things up. I was actually quite impressed at the writing.
Today I read a little blurb of a review for the second one, and it said, this is the most boringest, poorly written movie until the last 20 minutes.
Well, you know what? There's a thing to that, though. The audience today, I don't think, has the patience for things to be set up for them. They want it all now. It's like, what makes, like, I mean, like, The Godfather is a very slow-moving movie. But it builds, you know what I mean? It's like there's a payoff for putting in that time.
Right.
And I think audiences today are just like, their attention span is like fucking nil.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen Gravity?
No.
I want to see it. I mean, I heard that it's really good, but I've also heard it's really boring because nothing happens. But I think it'll be good because I have the patience for a story that pays off eventually.
I won't see it for totally other reasons. I can't stand George Clooney.
Oh, you don't like George?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like George either, but that's all right. Not a fan. Not a big fan. Oh, I'm sorry. Are there ladies listening? I'm a huge fan of George Clooney. He's the best.
Especially when his superhero costume has nipples.
That's right. You know what? I'm going to bet that in 2 years, you and I can sit down and we'll be like, you know what? George Clooney was a great Batman compared to...
Come
on down there to the Batcave. How do you like them apples?
Well, that's interesting because that's the crossover movie. It's Batman versus Superman.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's not the one they're making, is it?
Yeah.
That's the one Ben Affleck's going to be the Batman for... Are you kidding me?
Mm-mm.
No. Yep.
They said that they wanted an old, tired Batman, so they got Ben Affleck.
How old is he, man? He's like our age, isn't he?
I
guess I'm getting old now, but... It's like, you know, you mentioned Murtaugh at the beginning.
I remember when that dude almost got blown up on a toilet.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you know what's funny is I was thinking about that when you said that. I was like, you know, I remember whenever I thought Murtaugh was an old guy, and I was like, I identified with Mel Gibson because he was the young cop, and now I'm like, I'm closer to like Murtaugh.
You're like, now. I'm Murtaugh.
I'm like, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, so that movie's a crossover. It's... Superman versus Batman. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah, because they're equally powered. I guess it's Batman's intellect against Superman's.
That's usually the way it plays out. They've done this a few times.
And they couldn't
pick
anybody better than Ben Affleck to be a genius because. Yeah, when I come to your house, Dave, one of what I want to see is your house is empty and you took off there.
All right, so I know when I was a kid, I loved...
Long time ago.
Yeah, I loved crossovers. Like, I would play my G.I. Joe guys with my Star Wars guys.
Oh, yeah! And the G.I. Joe guys always had more actuation than the Kung Fu
Grip.
Well, they
had Kung Fu Grips.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, as opposed to the old Kenner. I mean...
They had, like, 5 points of articulation.
Yes.
It's like... And that's counting the neck.
That's right. That's right, yeah. I still love my Boba Fett, but yeah, I mean, compared to Snake Eyes.
No, ain't.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's like, hey, I can get Snake Eyes in any position I want. That's right.
There's a lot of gay humor floating from one side of the room over there. So,
it's because I'm confident and comfortable with my sexuality. The fact that I like men. I mean, women.
So, I kind of grew up always fostering these crossover ideas. Like, I always wanted to see... This was my dream team 80s cop picture was Axel Foley from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
John McClane, right, you know, from Die Hard.
Oh, yeah.
And Riggs from Lethal Weapon. And they could have all been in the same area at around the same time.
Here's an interesting thing. Did you know that the movie that starred Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis that was a Die Hard.
Die Hard 3. That was with a vengeance.
Yes. Was actually originally a Lethal Weapon script. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, I do know that yeah,
and they passed on it, so they rewrote it for...
It was actually a book first. It was a book called Simon Says. That was had nothing to do with the John McClane character.
Right.
And they took it and reworked it to make a Die Hard movie. But I do know, like, Under Siege was at first a Lethal Weapon script, and then it was a Die Hard script. You know, Die Hard on a boat. You know, like, that's the
one with Gary Busey in drag.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know what you think about me, but I'm pretty good looking here when I
look
put
at
my wig on.
Look at my titties!
Look at my ginormous titties. You know, Gary Busey's got some tips for you. If you're ever down at Subway, tell them, put some pussy on it. They will. Gary Busey is just batshit insane.
I was like, is that what they're calling those banana peppers nowadays?
Oh, no, that's real pussy. You know, if you're not eating pussy, make sure you're listening to Red Horse Radio. Or maybe, if you're listening to Red Horse Radio, go ahead and eat some pussy while you're at it. Just don't eat any horse pussy.
No.
Or any red pussy.
You don't want
to. Well, that's all right. Gary Busey eats it all. It doesn't matter. I'll eat a horse's pussy. It doesn't matter. I'm crazy.
Okay, Gary.
That guy's fucking nuts, man.
It's all the drugs, I guess.
Well, right? I think he was in some sort of... Someone told me, well, he was in a motorcycle accident. I'm like, oh, so that makes you batshit insane immediately?
I slammed into that car at 500 miles an hour. Now, I think I'm a clown and a woman.
Who played the dad in that in the Hulk movie with Eric Bana?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
McNulty.
Yeah.
I always get those two fucking guys mixed up because they're both crazy.
I was at a bar one time. I was like, fuck, is that Nick Nolte over there?
No, it's Gary Busey. How you doing? Oh, here I am.
Oh, that's a good crossover. They could do Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
From 48 Hours versus Lethal Weapon.
That's right. That's awesome.
Jack Cates was actually one of my heroes when I was growing up because they would play 48 Hours on HBO all the fucking time.
How was another 48 Hours? Because I'll be honest with you, I never saw that movie. I know it's been out for a long time.
Yeah, like, well, that was one of those sequels that they waited like 12 years to do.
It's kind of like whenever they made the next Indiana Jones. Oh.
Yeah. You're about to nuke the fridge.
And the fridge. Yeah, there's a crossover.
They're talking about making another one.
Is the fridge going to star prominently in it?
I don't know, but I'm kind of hoping that they do to kind of redeem themselves from this last
fucking thing. What? If Lucas is not involved, it might be all right.
That's really like my whole train of thought.
He's
with all this Lucas
fucking funding. Off the rocker, man. He's a great story guy, but, I mean, like, wow.
Well, it's like I don't even really care about the dialogue, but when you hear, like, his ideas like, hey, I want Han Solo to be a midget talking frog.
What?
Like, in his early scripts and screenplays, he's like, Han Solo is going to be a frog guy, and it's going to be awesome.
Wow.
And it's like, well, I don't think he's off the rocker. I think what it is now his technology is caught up to where he can actually do what he wants, and it's all bullshit.
Hey, man, I had this drug trip back in the 60s, and I want to make it happen.
You know, George Lucas, crazy man. You know, Craig and I decided that the perfect guy to take care of Lucas properties is Jesse Pinkman.
I don't know who that is.
Jesse Pinkman's from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, it's a great series. I mean, you can binge view it like Anthony Hopkins.
Everybody always tells me to watch it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
But there's a character in there called Jesse Pinkman, and I have some audio that I might add to the show whenever I put my next show out of Craig being George Lucas's Yes Man, starring as Jesse Pinkman.
Is he the kid that's like, he's...
Yeah, bitch, it's good!
Yeah. I can't do it, George.
No, but, but I understand what you're saying. Like, George
Lucas...
Yeah,
George, that's good. George, shut up, bitch! This is awesome. It's George Lucas talking.
Yeah, so George Lucas goes, look, Han Solo, you know, he's not going to be Harrison Ford. He's going to be a frog guy.
Yeah.
And then Jesse Pinkman says...
Yeah, bitch, that's good. That's the shit right there, George.
He's a frog guy. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, it's frog guy. Frog guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's... We got into a discussion about, like, George must have, like, a trap door with a Rancor down underneath Skywalker Ranch. And anybody that's like, yeah, you know, it's probably not a good idea to make Darth Vader a little wuss that cries and whirls around in the grass with Padme.
I've had some time to think about this.
You're okay with him being a pussy?
I think that, in the immortal words of Kevin Smith, that is who he would be. He would be like some dipstick emo kid. That's like, I doubt Kevin Smith said dipstick, but I will say dipstick.
I'll give some thought to that.
Okay.
I'll give some thought to that. I mean, he reminds me of... I mean, he does remind me of Luke at the beginning of A New Hope. I mean,
Luke was
power
always
station
a bit of a...
and pick up some power converters. Yeah.
He's always a bit of a whiner.
Yeah.
Up until, I guess, the last one. And then he was just too busy crying and screaming in pain.
No!
Quit electrocuting me!
Let's see. What motivation can we give him? Tell him Darth Vader's going to rape his sister.
Well, that's his... Yeah.
That's his...
Well, you know, they don't take... Hey,
what is this?
Lucas is fucking nuts, man. This is not without outside of the realm of possibility. I mean, he's the one that had them make out.
Yeah.
And Luke leaned back and go, yeah, my sister's got some good tongue there, hon. Well, check that shit out, Wookie.
There was... I just read recently, like on, I guess it was Superhero Hype or something, someone found in one of the early scripts for Empire Strikes Back, and the reveal wasn't in the script. and everyone saying, like, well, that's just saying that Lucas didn't know all, you know how he says all along I had this thing written where, and then they're like, well, it's not in this fucking early script, you know.
That's because he was afraid someone would get a hold of that copy of the script and reveal it.
I don't know.
I'm making excuses for him.
I see. I'm sure that's what he would say. Yeah,
that's right. That's what George would tell you. For, you know, I can't do George Lucas. He's
it was too... blue. It was Blue Harvest, bitches.
That's right.
I thought you were going to try to do him.
Oh, who?
I thought you
Lucas?
Were
try... Oh God, I need to swallow like three cats before I could do George Lucas because he's got a great cat pouch going under his neck.
I almost got his beard.
You almost do, yeah. And you got a flannel shirt on today. If that was a red flannel shirt, I might think you were George Lucas like, over there in the corner.
Yeah, I don't know.
Other than the fact that your ideas actually make sense.
Hey, you know, you can't. I guess you can't. Like, it's hard to be mad at him.
Yeah, I mean, he did give us Star Wars, and, you know, I think that's what it is. It becomes very personal, because whenever you read the story and you fall in love with it, it's almost like, well, it's like South Park said, they raped Indy. It's like they're raping your childhood. You're just like, you know, everything's beautiful, and everything's fine, and it's great, and I loved it, and what, Jar Jar?
When's the last time you watched the Indiana Jones films?
About 2 weeks ago, actually, they had a marathon.
Okay,
and
did you watch all three of them? Because I don't count the last one.
No, the last one does not count. It does. I'm sorry, it does not. They didn't play it in the marathon, so obviously it doesn't count. They were smart enough to do that.
What's your favorite one?
My favorite? I don't know. I think it's a toss up between. You know what? It's got to be the last one. It's got to be the third one.
See, when I rewatched the third one, I'm like, this shit doesn't wash. This movie sucks. I remember being in the theater, being like, this is the coolest goddamn Indiana Jones movie I've ever seen. But when I rewatch,
I love the fact that Indiana Jones is 10 years younger than I don't know. It's like 10 or 12 or 13 years, something like that. He's not much younger than Sean Connery, but he looks like an old junior. You know what I like about it? The lines. There's so many great lines in that movie. The next man.
Whenever you could juxtapose like well-known character against his dad for laughs. I mean, that part's gonna be good.
Junior, the floor's on fire, and the chair,
and the curtain.
There's it's really campy. I mean, if you're gonna go for like actual cinema, I don't know the first one. I mean, technically the second one because
it's all Quentin Tarantino up.
Because the second movie takes place prior to the first movie,
right.
Which makes the third movie better. Whenever they're walking through the sewers and he looks up and she's like, oh, what's that?
Ark of the Covenant.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's like my favorite line in the entire movie.
I like when he met Hitler.
Oh, and Hitler signs the book. Hitler's searching for the Holy Grail. Here's the way to get it. I'll just put my signature on that. Here you go, buddy.
Like, is there any historical reference? Does Hitler actually sign autographs?
I don't know. I understand he liked to burn books, but...
I liked the second one. I liked the second one because it was so dark.
It was dark. You know what? I would say the second one, too, but I fucking can't stand Short Round.
Well, my folks were going through a divorce at the time.
Yeah.
And I think that I was like, yes, like, you know, I would like someone to fight for me if I was
you want someone to put big wooden shoes on your feet so you could drive a car? Come on, Dr. Jean, get in the car!
No, I mean like the kids in the you know.
We talked about that on our show. I don't know if I cut a lot of stuff. I don't know if it made it to Final Cut, but we talked about like them replacing the children with velociraptors. Because that's what Spielberg likes to do. He likes to replace the guns with walkie-talkies.
Walkie-talkies, yeah. There's a website. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to check it out. I think it's just a WordPress site or something, but it's called Thumbs and Ammo. And they take, like, iconic movie moments with guns in them, and they erase the guns and make people give me thumbs up. So it's like the one that drew me in.
Say hello to my little friend.
I think that there's a Scarface one, but the one that drew me in was Brad Pitt's character from Seven. You know, when he's like, what's in the box? He's like in the field and he's like,
yay, it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Yay. Good job, Kevin Spacey.
But they, there's some funny ones in there. So for all the listeners out there,
that's your homework.
Yeah, thumbs and ammo.
Thumbs and ammo.
So do you kind of have like,
and also www.9thstory.com. That's not the number 9thstory.com.
Yeah. So what do you guys do over there on that podcast?
I don't know.
All right, so you guys get together. You get
We record a lot of shit that doesn't make it to the final cut. But yeah, we get together and we talk about
storytelling.
Yes, stories and storytelling. So I mean, we've covered topics like dark characters, which is what we did. You and I did.
Yeah.
For those that have not checked it out yet, that's the inaugural episode. We did fairy tales, dark fairy tales.
The dark fairy tales one was really good.
Yeah, that was going back to the original fairy tales.
Before Disney pissed in them.
Yeah, before Disney cleaned them up and put a bow tie on them and, you know, said, here you go, kids, but something you can actually watch.
You know, it's kind of a shitty thing to do, but at the same time, that's how, you know, the last four generations of people know those stories.
Yes.
And they might have been lost.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I mean, the original ones were all cautionary tales. They were supposed to scare you.
Yeah.
You know, because here's what's going to happen. I mean, Little Red Riding Hood, we won't go into that, but that's a story about rape. I mean, that's, be careful, girls, because there's bad people out there after you. And then the third one we just kind of
grandma's.
Yeah, exactly. Grandma's bed. I'm right up there.
But I remember.
Hey, it's Gary Busey. I'm the big bad wolf. Come on in there, Riding Hood. Let's have a picnic.
I remember on my Facebook feed, you started. I don't know if you were like doing prose or if you posted like a picture of the foot getting cut.
Oh yes.
And I was like, that's Cinderella, and I'm guessing that you were like doing research for that show when you found that.
Yes.
And I was like, bam, I know exactly what that fucking shit is. And it's
the original story. Cinderella's stepsisters cut their feet in order to fit into the glass slippers.
They slaughter their one cuts their
heel
toes
off.
Yep. And one cuts the toes off to fit them into the thing.
Yeah, and they leave, and as they're going down the road, there's a crow hanging out there, and he's like, hey, dude, that's not the chick you want, because like she chopped her toes off, dumbass.
Yeah, the talking birds were a big thing in that one, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of it, well, nowadays, because of Disney, it's like it was the fairy godmother that was helping her.
Yes.
But in the original story,
it was the crow. It was Brandon.
Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee was hanging out. He's like, hey, dude, that's not who you want.
He's like, hey, you know, it can't rain all the time.
That's right. That's awesome. Yeah, so, and then we did the Halloween episode, which I had a lot of fun with. We started out with a false start. We did as if we were going to talk about Kiss versus the Phantom of the Park. and then we went into the actual show. And then just recently we did two JFK episodes, which I had a lot of fun with, because we realized we had way too much content. We actually did a show prior to that, which was an hour and a half long, which is way longer than I like to go.
Yeah.
But the title of the show was Breaking the Rules, so we broke the rules and we made it longer.
That was actually really... I really enjoyed that episode.
Yeah.
The piece of fiction that you put out in front of it. I'm like listening to you reading and I'm like, what's he doing?
That's awful. That's like the worst thing I've ever heard Dan read. Did he write this shit?
Now, I don't have the rules in front of me, but I did have contention with a few of the rules once you guys start talking about them.
Yeah.
But
I can see his point to a certain extent. We were trying to play devil's advocate with each other, but yeah, there's a couple of those that I think are complete horseshit. But
I'm sure you've read Stephen King's rules for writing or whatever it's called.
Stephen King's on writing, maybe?
Yeah, it's basically how his process or like his advice or whatever.
Yeah, it's like basically his entire. It's almost like it's almost kind of like an autobiography, but there's a lot of like how he works and how he writes, and it's actually the first thing I ever read by Stephen King. Because
his first rule of writing is what?
I don't know.
His first rule of writing is fucking write.
Oh, well, yeah. Yes, you have to write. I mean, he does go into a lot of detail about all the rejections that he got and this huge spike that he had that had all the stories, and he kept his rejection notices.
I read an interview where he claims that he wallpapered his apartment with him.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the man is prolific. He's written so much shit. I would not be surprised if he had that many rejection notices in the beginning. But he kept trying and trying. I mean, Stephen King's either awesome or really bad. That's just my opinion. I mean, like, I've read some of his stuff, and I'm like, that's complete shit. And I've read some of his stuff, and I'm like, that's, you're a fucking god. And I don't think, for me, there's no in-between. There's never anything that I read, and I'm like, eh, it's okay.
I like his short work. His novels get laborious to read. Like, I remember reading...
Which it's like a workout, man. You can get your workout and read at the same time.
I think I was reading Tommyknockers, and he spent like 4 pages in the middle of the book talking about a pair of boots that were in the fucking closet. And
I'm they made for walking?
I don't know. I was like, I can't. I just can't fucking do it. But I remember trying to read it and being like, oh my God, I'm so impressed, you know, with it. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, no. Like, I can't.
See, here's the thing. I'll be honest with you. I've only read Stephen King's short stories. Everything else that I've consumed of him, I've listened to on audio.
Well, I need to put an asterisk next to my last comment, where I have read the Gunslinger books. All of them except for the newest one, the Inbertweequel he put out. I read them all except for that one. So
I consumed all of those on Audible as well, because I mean it's a different experience.
Well, because it's in a different world, so maybe I don't mind listening to a 4 pages of a pair of boots, like, in this new different world that I'm not familiar with. So
yeah, I mean, I will tell you that out of everything I've ever read, listened to, whatever, the best line from any book ever so far is the beginning of The Gunslinger, which is the man in black went out into the desert and the gunslinger followed him.
Yeah. This is a perfect opening sentence.
And yeah, because you don't know who the bad guy is. You don't know who the good guy is. I mean, it's awesome. And it's just like, it conveys so much, you know, desert, cow. I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, I can't say enough about how much I enjoy that beginning sentence.
I remember when I was in high school, I had to do an illustration project for art class.
Yeah.
And I illustrated that sentence.
Oh, yeah.
To me, I was like, that is the cover of the book. And, like, I did it. It was awful or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, that's how you learn.
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-oh, watch out, kitty cat.
No, that was my boot.
Oh, that was your boot. We want to talk about that for about 4 pages?
Describe it.
Beautiful.
All right. So do you, like, harbor any kind of, like...
resentment?
No.
Yeah, tons.
Want to, like, see, or do you think about, like, different characters crossing over constantly? Or do you have any, like, ideas? Like, at one point in time, like, I started tweeting, like, hey, this is the crossover, the event of the century. And I would, like, label out, like... like
dream crossovers, people that I'd like to see together on screen, or
like, here's my Twitter campaign. The first one I think was the crossover event of the century: Vic Mackey from The Shield and Jack Bauer from 24 chasing down, like, a homegrown terrorist or something.
That's awesome.
I spend like 25% of my day doing this in my head.
Yeah, you know what? I got to be honest with you. That's one thing I've not put a lot of thought into. I think a lot about characters that I'd like and what. Yeah, I mean that's. I don't think I've ever spent any. I don't, and that's probably terrible. But I don't think I've ever spent any time thinking about, well, I'd like to see this guy in this show. There's a lot of things that I've spent, like I spend a lot of time reading stuff, and I'm like, who would be the best actor to play this character?
That's interesting.
I'm a huge fan. I don't know if you've ever read The Man, but I'm a huge fan of David Eddings. Mm-hmm. He wrote it's a huge knockoff on Tolkien, but it's done in a way that I like. It was actually, I picked it up on a bus trip when I was in high school. I was going to like French camp or something, and I wanted something to read. So
wait, back up. French camp?
Oui, je te le français pour 2 ans, c'est toi? Puis j'étais mon crayon est jaune et mon crayon est long.
Whoa.
May I sharpen my pencil? My pencil is yellow. My pencil is yellow and my pencil is long.
So is that just one sentence you have memorized, or can you flip it to French whenever you want?
I'm more, and when I was younger, I thought this was complete bullshit because I heard people say, great long of bullshit. I heard people say, I can understand it more than I can speak it. But as I'm older now, I can. I mean, I can watch a movie with a French movie with subtitles, and I know what they're saying. I can figure it out. But for me to sit there and, like, have a conversation with you in French, I'd need some practice because I'm a little rusty.
I'm the same way for German. Like, I could watch someone talking German, and I'd be like, okay, he's talking about...
Ich bin ein Berliner.
It all goes back to Kennedy. So can you?
I took German for a month in college. Why? Because that's all you need.
I lived there. I lived there for 2 years.
That's the way to learn it, man.
Yeah.
That's what French camp was. It was total immersion for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
But where I was saying is I picked up the Belgariad, which the Pawn of Prophecy, which is the first book, and it's an epic journey of
a young woman's lust from Melania.
One man and one woman and her lusts for Gandalf the Gay, coming this fall to a theater near you, starring Johnny Axe.
All right, so you got this book that's a knockoff of Tolkien.
Yes, but I enjoy that. That's one of the I've spent a lot of time reading that, and I always thought that Sean Connery should play Belgarth. But
so, do you think that everyone like does that casting call in their head when they start a book? I do.
Yeah. I don't know about other people, but I'm very visual. I mean, even when I write, I'm very visual. I think about when I write something, I can see it, and to me that helps.
Even like I love reference books, so like I'll pick up like, you know, just Bill Moyer and the Hero with a Thousand Faces, or the Power of Myth.
Okay. You know? Yeah. And Joe Campbell.
Yeah, and in my head, Joe. It's like I see Uncle Joe sitting there talking. Or if it's like an author that I don't know what they look like, and they're speaking directly to me, like as if it's a history book.
Coming right at your ears.
Yeah. Like, I imagine, like, well, what's this guy look like? You know, and it's like...
I bet a lot of people wonder what John Towers looks like.
There are numerous...
He's tall, svelte, blonde.
He's not svelte.
He's like Hitler's wet dream. Look at me. I'm very attractive.
Well, if you go to www.johnnyaxe.com, you yes. can find probably more pictures than you would like to look at.
That's right. It's a good-looking man in those tights.
Okay, so do you have one off the top of your head, crossover event of the century?
Crossover event of the century. I don't know. It's got to be something with Bond.
Ooh.
How about Bond... I was going to say Bond and Sherlock Holmes. How about if Bond was like a descendant of Sherlock Holmes?
Oh, well, you're getting into this, they call it the Walter world?
The Notebook? Or whatever that movie was. Or whatever, wasn't there a movie like Sandra Bullock and, hey, all right, Matthew McConaughey or something, where like they were like in, I don't know who was in that movie.
No, there's a...
I don't know what tangent I just... It's this fucking booze you gave me, man. I'm off on tangent. This is why I edit the shit out of my shows.
Well, it's going up just like this, so...
Well, hey, congratulations. I might say something stupid too late.
The, in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, there's Bonds. And I say there's Bonds because the theory is that each actor that plays Bond is a different guy. And when he gets killed, they pull up the next Bond. So there's like there's always a 007.
Well, yeah, I mean it's a number. Yeah. So
there's always a 007. There's James Bond 007. There's
they have like a vat of them, like the Emperor in thing.
They don't explain where they got them, but in the last,
see, like the Doctor.
No, it's not the same guy. It's like a different dude. In the last League of Extraordinary Gentlemen called Century, in the one that takes place in, I think, 2009, you actually open up the page, and there's, like, the current M, and then there's all the different guys who play the Doctor, and they're, like, loose characterizations of them.
Okay.
They're, like, one, like, the the Roger Moore one's, like, fetching her tea.
Roger Moore.
Well, that was my 007. That's the one
that
I grew up
Yeah, that's the one
watching.
I grew up with, too. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because, I mean... As I grew older, I watched the older ones and the other ones, and I'm like, wow, Roger Moore was horrible.
He's
not,
all
as bad as, not as bad as George Lazenby, but...
He's all about just getting his dick wet.
Yeah. I'm going to sleep with Grace Jones.
And he's like, I'm in a movie called Octopussy. What do you think I'm doing?
I'm going out to some Octo 8 Pussy.
That sounds great to Gary Busey.
He would have made a great Bond villain.
Gary Busey?
Hey, 007, why don't you come on in here? I'm going to explain my entire plan to you.
He's like, they send James Bond to Appalachia.
Why don't you, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with me.
And his name's just Dr. Joe.
Dr. Joe.
Hey, I'm Joe. Come on in here.
Dr. Jeb.
Why don't you sit on down there?
What do you expect me to do? Do you expect me to talk? No.
Of course not. I'm going to put my dick in your mouth.
Wow. James Bond versus the Deliverance bad guys.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Gary Busey would be great. There's a crossover for you. Put him in that movie.
He got a pretty mouth. That's what I said.
Nice. You know what? That was a great Deliverance. If nobody's, well, I hope everybody has seen Deliverance. Burt Reynolds was fucking badass in that movie, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like a period of time where Burt Reynolds was like fucking badass. And then he became a mockery of himself. But I mean, there was definitely a period of time where he was like. He was the guy, man.
Yeah. My wife and I were on the road, and we passed a black and gold Trans Am. And I nudged her, and I'm like, when I was a kid, that was it. That is my dream car because of Smokey and the Bandit. And she was like, oh, that's so cute. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. When I had the Camaro, that in my brain is what I was doing as I was buying the fucking Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit.
It looks just like it.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, he was awesome.
He was.
And,
he
like, was. I remember Sharky's Machine.
Oh, dude, all-time favorite movie ever is Sharky's Machine.
When he was on the boat and they had him held prisoner and they were breaking his knuckles.
Yes.
I was like, oh my god, fucking Burt Reynolds is the man.
And I'm not fucking with you. That is my favorite movie of all time.
That's the only thing I remember from that movie is the knuckle breaking.
Yeah, that was a pretty intense scene. I can see why that might stick with you.
Because he couldn't scream, or he wouldn't, and then the bad guy was like, it's okay, you can scream, and still continues to break his knuckles or something.
Yes.
He was like, I'm not going to scream because I'm defying you, and the guy's right. Like, you know, you could scream, but it's not going to, you know, whatever.
Hi, everybody. I'm Burt Reynolds. I'm not going to scream.
Well, I just remember, like, the mid-shot, after the bad guy said that, like, the mid-shot of the boat.
Yeah.
And, like ah! You can hear him, like, screaming.
Con!
So, was he a cop or a bounty hunter or something? Well,
I think he was. Wasn't he a private detective?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was started off as a cop, and then he got the shaft from
it's funny that I tell you that's my all-time favorite movie of all time, but I don't remember the entire plot.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, watching it and just being like, this movie's fucking awesome. I just remember the way I felt when I watched that movie, which is why it's my all-time favorite. It's probably going to be like whenever, like, I grew up and I went and watched The Greatest American Hero again, and I'm like, holy shit, this sucks.
I have a Greatest American Hero story, too. We were watching...
Did you wrestle him?
No. I wouldn't stand a chance if he had that suit on.
That's right. White paper, white paper.
We were watching... The Golden Girls.
There we go.
And
there we go.
The FBI agent.
See, this is the. Have you shared this with your audience? Does your audience know that you are a huge, literally not fucking around? literally, John is a huge fan of the Golden Girls.
I love them. They're so dirty.
They are.
They are some fucking rough bitches.
If you listen to the commercial that Craig and I dropped into our episode for you on Ninth Story last week, one of the things that we mention is that, you know, like, John is not what you think he is. And it's hilarious, too, because, like, here's this big, burly, barbed wire combat engineer guy.
Craig was shaking my wife down for information about...
Whether or not you had a kilt?
No, whether or not I slept with stuffed animals.
Well, I don't know about that. I know that he mentioned that you might have been a fan of Roddy Piper and that he wanted to know if you had a kilt, and I'm like, I don't want to know about that.
I've never had a kilt.
Well, yeah, and it's funny because, you know, Craig, John's got his kilt on tonight. Oh, that's right, getting a little bit of the air there for the boys.
Yeah, I like the Golden Girls, but the FBI agent from Greatest American Hero was on the Golden Girls, and so now I'm stuck.
Max.
I can't remember what his name was.
Max something.
But now I'm stuck in the situation where I'm trying to explain who this guy is and how I know him to my wife. And I'm like, he's in this goofy TV show about this guy who has superpowers. And he was an FBI agent, but he always got his ass beat. And, like, at the end of every episode, he's always in a sling or a fucking cane or a fucking bandage around his head.
Yes.
That was his, like, gimmick, is he was there to get his ass handed to him.
You know who else was in that show?
No.
Connie Sellecca.
Isn't she like a politician now or something?
I don't know. She was like, she was from the same era of, yeah, you're not thinking of Maria Shriver because she looks like Skeletor.
I'll get you, He-Man.
I've got to open a letter. Come here, Maria. Let me use your cheek. What? That's one of my favorite episodes of Letterman is the one where he had Arnold Schwarzenegger on.
He asked him
to translate his name, and it means black plowman. And Letterman said, how do the Kennedys feel about having a black plowman in the family? Because he's like, well, I got to ask you a question. What do you want to know? How do the Kennedys feel about having a black plowman in the family? Yeah. There was also a top 10 list on Letterman that featured Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's probably on the interweb machine if you look it up through the Google pages or the YouTubers. If you can find it, it's delightful. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger reading the top 10 things Arnold Schwarzenegger would never say. I don't remember all of them, but one of them is, my, what a lovely lace doily. And the other one is, ouch, a paper cut.
That reminds me of Carlin.
Yeah?
Sentences you would never hear anyone say. After dinner, I'm going to stick this red-hot poker up my ass. That's right.
Taking a shit while running at full speed.
All right. Any more crossover biz?
No, not that I can think of. Why, are we going to get a word from your sponsor?
No, the word from my sponsor is already done. We're going to wrap
up. Oh, that's retro. That's retconned in. So what kind of crossovers are you working on, Dr. Towers?
I got none. No? Every once in a while, I don't know if you know this, but Pittsburgh has a huge indie comic scene.
Yes.
Like, we're everywhere here.
Yeah, people in Pittsburgh, they like your comic books. They talk like this. I actually got an email a couple weeks ago from somebody that listened to our show, and I guess they're someplace in Europe now. But they're like, you need to talk like he's from Pittsburgh. No, we don't. Not all the time. That's when we're off air. This is how I talk whenever I talk to my friends.
Well, every once in a while, someone will take, one of my colleagues, I guess, will interject some of my characters into their stories.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's about as close as I get to, a crossover. Because, my universe is pretty nailed down. And I'm like, I don't want to muddy the continuity with, this kind of, which is silly because no one ever really sees this shit anyways,
Oh, I see it. We all see it. All your Denzians of fans, the thousands of listeners, the followers on Twitter and tweets and Twitter tweety.
I call them devotees of
the show. The devotees of the show. Yes, those guys. You have a big audience. You have a bigger audience than you think you do, I bet.
Well, the thing is, I've yanked down all the free stuff on the site now.
Yeah.
Because of the print deal. So,
Now you guys got it. It's, I talked to John and I said, John, you can't give your fans stuff for free. You need to make them pay for it. That's what KISS does. That's what you should do. That's why I'm a millionaire and I'm married to Shannon Tweed. And you're
He's
down
not
here.
He's married to her, is he?
Yeah, they did get married in the end.
Hey, did you see the, I have the Red Horse Radio
attack copter.
No, it's the traffic copter. Oh.
I thought it was a black helicopter and it was coming for me.
Whoa, hey now.
Whoa, that's
hello, friend.
It just crashed into my cock.
All right, this has been Red Horse Radio episode 119. I got to get my friend to the hospital cuz I just ran a helicopter into him.
I'm falling, and I can't get up!
Dan, one more time.
Yeah.
Website address.
You can find us on... I usually listen to us on Stitcher, actually, but you can find us on... And Mr. Towers is... Dr. Towers is on Stitcher, too, but iTunes, Zune, Stitcher. If you want directly to the podcast, it's podcast.ninthstory.com. That's with the number 9. And then I also do a old-time radio show called The Ride. And that is ride.ninthstory.com.
Nice. Twitter account?
That is @ninthstory.
Awesome. So hit Dan up on Twitter. Check out his old-timey radio drama. Listen to him and Craig spit fire about stories.
Yes. on and on and on.
Spitfire. And like I said, this has been Red Horse Radio. We're not,
Red Horse Radio!
We're not done yet. You still have one more thing to do before you can unlock your completion bonus. Check it out. Congratulations. You survived Red Horse Radio. But however, your job is not complete yet. I need you to go ahead and like the episode page right there. You're probably looking right at it. Like it. If you haven't followed the show, about halfway down the screen on your right-hand side, go ahead and click follow. You can follow the show. It's not going to kill you. And I encourage everyone to leave comments. Go ahead and leave a comment. And if we tackled a topic or made you laugh and you think that you know someone that might like the show, I encourage everyone to share it on your social media. Go ahead and share it. It's not gonna bite you. Go ahead and get in touch with me on Twitter at Johnny Axe, JONNYAXX at Johnny Axe. Leave a message on the voicemail line, 701-661-7190. You have your pen? You want me to do it again? 701-661-7190. Find us at redhorseradio.com. The Stigmata Studios hub is www.johnnyaxe.com, JONNYAXX.com. And, you know, why the hell not? My personal email address is towers113@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening, and thanks for engaging.
You've been listening to Red Horse Radio, a Stigmata Studios production. Let's go for a ride, horsey. I broke it.